tricky part, the challenging part, but the part that makes wholesaling so cool is that you can get involved in real estate investing if you're doing wholesale for next to no money. Hey, wealthy women, welcome back to Women Creating Wealth. Today, we're going to talk about wholesaling. So wholesaling, as you might have remembered from last week when we talked about all eight of the different ways that you can get involved in real estate investing as a beginner, wholesaling is you're buying something and you're only going to hold it long enough for you to pass the paper to the table to the next person who's buying it at a little more than what you bought it for, and you're going to get the difference. So you know how wholesaling works because you've gone to a grocery store and you know that what you're paying for that coffee is more than what your local grocer is paying for that coffee. They bought it wholesale, and now they're going to sell it to you at retail. So you're not technically selling it at retail, but you are the wholesaler. You're the one who's just managing that commodity. You didn't pick the coffee beans. You didn't grind the coffee. All you did was you sourced the coffee, and now you found somebody who wants to buy the coffee in bulk. They buy it, and then you're done. You're walking away. You're saying, hey, thanks for the check. I didn't have to do the coffee. I don't have to deal with the end user. All I'm doing is marrying up the coffee bean people and the coffee sellers. And that's what you're doing in a wholesale scenario. So the tricky part, the challenging part, but the part that makes wholesaling so cool is that you can get involved in real estate investing if you're doing wholesale for next to no money. I mean, you need to have normally enough money to put the initial deposit on for the offer, but that can be as low as $500 to $1,000. And then you get that, you find, so let's start at the very beginning. You wake up one morning and you say, hey, you know what? I've been listening to Women Creating Wealth, and I think I'm ready to become a wholesaler. So now you're going to troll the neighborhoods. You're going to start looking around, driving around. Anytime you see a house that looks like it's a little sad, a little run down, like it really needs some help, and like you know that if they put that on the market right away, they're not going to get, you know, top dollar because it's distressed, depressed, and disorganized. You know, I've drive by these places actually where there's like shit on the porch. There's stuff the house hasn't been painted for 30 years. Those are the kind of homes you want to look at. And then you can either knock on the door and just say, hi, want to sell your house? You can send them a card, a letter, whatever. You know, you can just note the address and send them something. Obviously, the knock on the door approach is, although not as easy and fun, it's the method that's going to probably yield you the best results. But yeah, you can just, you know, put something, hang something on their doorknob, which is a little more noticeable than just sending them something in the mail. Whatever technique you decide to use, that's the first step, is you find a property that is not in great shape. And then that you make a plan with the person who owns the property that they're going to sell that property for you to you at a price that you know, because you've done your research on what things are selling for in the area. You've walked around the house with them, so you have an idea of what needs to be done, so you can see where the skill needs to come in here. So you're like, okay, let's see, we need to paint. That's going to be 10 grand. It's going to need a roof. That's, you know, 15, blah, 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 blah. And you've discounted all those things from what you think it would sell for if it were in perfect condition. You're discounting all the work, and you're also adding in a factor, a multiplier that you know your buyer is going to want. So every time I fix up a house, I want to make minimum 30% on my investment. So you need to take that 30%, add that to the price, and actually subtract that from the price. So if it's going to sell for, let's try to make this really easy, even though these numbers are not going to be realistic. Let's say you know that if the house were perfect, it would sell for $200,000. So you go in there and you say, okay, what does it need? And it needs at least $40,000 worth of work. Okay, so now you're at the price that you could offer them and still break even, assuming that it really only needed $40,000 worth of work. you'd be at 160,000. So if you bought it for 160,000, put 40,000 into it, you'd be at 200,000 and you'd break even. But you know, the person you sell it to doesn't want to break even. They want to make a profit, and they probably want to make a good profit on their initial investment. So you start to think, okay, so if they want to make 30%, let's say that it's probably going to be at least $40,000 that they are going to need to make in a profit in order to be willing to sell, to buy this property and fix it up. So that brings the price that you could pay down to 120. That's if you wanted to break even. So you've got, if you paid 120 and you gave 40,000 and 40,000 was profit to the person who is buying it and fixing it up, and then 40,000 is the cost for them to fix it up, you could offer 120,000, but then you wouldn't make any money. So you also have to factor in that there could be, you know, normally there aren't going to be broker commissions, but when your person sells it, they might have to pay some commissions. You might have to, they might be represented by a broker, whatever. If there are any other expenses, including the fact that you're going to have to pay taxes, then you would also have to discount that from the price you're willing to pay. So you might say to that person who you've now discovered is willing to sell the property at a discount, you might say, okay, I can offer you $100,000 or $105,000 or $110,000, and they agree, then you give them a contract. You don't give them any money. The money gets held by the title company or by an attorney or somebody else. You're not going to give them, you're not going to hand them cash, but you are going to sign a contract with them, and you're going to say, I'm putting $1,000 into an escrow account, and you're agreeing to pay me this, you're agreeing to sell me this property for $105,000. Now your job is to find somebody who wants to buy that property from you. I mean, you've just got a great discount. You've left plenty of room for profit for them. So hopefully you've been on the forums, you've been making, you're going to meetings of investors, that you've got some connections with people who are interested in investing in property. And believe me, it's easy to find these people. They text me all day long. Hi, just checking in to see if you have any off-market property. They are looking for you. And once you've done one or two of these, they're going to be knocking on your door. So you find this person who wants to buy it, and you say, okay, here's the deal. It looks like the fair market value of a renovated property is going to be around 200. I estimate that we're going to need about $40,000 worth of work. What are you willing to offer me? Now, maybe they'll say, hey, you know, for that deal, I'll offer you $150,000. You'll say, what? That's awesome. It's unlikely, but whatever they offer you between the amount that you've got it under contract for, $105,000, and then the amount that they offer you, say it's $150,000, you just made $45,000 on that transaction. And you did, I mean, you did a lot, right? You drove around, you looked for properties, you knocked on doors, right? It wasn't the first door you knocked on, most likely. So you have done a lot of legwork, but your financial outlay here is extremely small, because probably by time you need to make another deposit on that property, you've already got it under agreement. That person's going to make the deposit. You know, you've already, so they say you can assign when you, when you put this property under agreement, you're going to say that you're going to buy it. You say Chris McCarron or her assigns. So I can assign that title to another person or entity or whatever, and they can complete the contract without me. So anyway, lots of paperwork, lots of potential for getting screwed if you don't do your stuff right. So, okay. Here are some of the keys to success if you want to be a good wholesaler. The first one is that you want to have a Rolodex, if you know that old term. You want to have a phone, your phone book full of people who like to buy investment property off the market. Now, you can get that from lead generation. You know, you can go out there and send letters or whatever, but the easiest thing I think, the easiest way I think to get those names of people who want to buy property is to go to, like, there's Facebook forums, there are other types of online forums, meetup groups for people who want to do real estate investing. So you make lists of those, you meet the people, you make notes, you find out when you meet somebody and they say, oh, I'm always looking for off-market properties, you're going to make some notes on there. You know, you put them in your phone and you say, okay, this person wants to invest in things $1 million or up. They're not interested in small properties. And then you find another person who says, you know, I can't go more than $1 million. Then you put them in your phone, and you just keep track of all these different people. And then when you get the property, you've got a bunch of people to call, and you might even be in a situation where they're a little bit outbidding each other and like, well, sure, I don't need to make 40,000. I only need to make 30. So I'm going to be able to offer you more for your part of the profit. So that's a really good first step before you ever knock on your first door, is to get a strong list of buyers. Now, the second part of that is the second important factor is that you understand what you need to do when you walk into that house. So you found somebody, you've knocked on the door, they've let you in, you've had a tour of the house. How do you have any idea how much anything's going to cost to fix? And also what needs to be fixed. So you might want to, in the beginning, partner with somebody who is a contractor. Might want to partner with somebody who has some type of experience. Even if you have, you know, like, for example, I have a lot of experience walking through houses and identifying what's wrong. So if you want to partner with somebody like that and say, hey, let's do a couple of these together. We'll split the profit. And that way I'll really get to learn what the heck I should be looking for while I'm in these properties. That is going to be so important, because as you're walking around, like I said, you're going like, okay, this looks like it has asbestos in the basement. I need to know, like, right off the bat, or an easy way to find, how much is it going to cost to remove that asbestos? This looks like it has some mold. Okay, what's the mold remediation? And then do we need a roof? Do we need, like, what are the kinds of things that you think that what are the things that you think that the buyer is going to need to do in order to pretty this house up and put it on the market? Is it going to need a new kitchen? Is it need to be painted? You know, what needs to be done? And then all those things get added up, and that's what you just, that's what you subtract from what you think, again, some more skill involved here, some more knowledge, what you think the property is going to sell for. Now, we can talk a lot more sometime about figuring out what the property is probably worth, but you can often find out, just go like, look at the Zestimate. That will probably give you a close enough idea as to what the property would sell for that you can use for your calculations. You can also do searches of similar properties and sort of get to the point where you're doing a market analysis, which all that comes with experience. So to leave you with a couple of things, the first thing you want to do is cultivate your buyers. The second thing you want to do is partner with somebody on your first couple of deals, somebody who knows something about fixing up real estate, fixing up property, and hopefully even possibly even valuing that property. And they can, you know, talk you through. And believe me, because it's not that much fun to knock on doors, if you say, I'll knock on the doors if you'll help me to do the other parts, you will definitely find people that will partner with you. So good luck if you decide to do real estate wholesaling. I know people who have done so well with this, and you learn so much, and you could easily make, I mean, think about it. You could do five of these deals you could do five a month if you really want to spend your days out on the market, and you're going to make a minimum of 10,000 each time, you know, if you do it right. So that's my advice for you today. Have fun, women, creating wealth. This is a great way to build yourself a little nest egg, or even a big nest egg, that will allow you to get started. This is going to be your money that you're going to use to do something that's a little bit easier when we get involved in real estate investing. So have a brilliant and fantastic day. Be sure to join us next week when we talk about prefabbing, which is the number two great way, or a number two great way, for beginners to get involved in real estate investing. Thanks.